Hey, welcome if you are new to ACC. Thank you so much, you guys. Great job this morning, team. You can make yourself as at home, like Isaiah here, crawling onto the stage. No, he's good. He's good. No, all good. And welcome. Welcome if this is your first time. My name is Kerry. I am married to Andy, and I have a story to tell you about that. I have many stories to tell you about Andy. But one of them is that this week, Andrew took Isaac and Jojo, our two sons, on a fishing trip. And they caught a lot of big fish, you guys. And it was very good, and they were very proud. So if you see them later, you need to high-five them. This is a serious thing. Like, they were very proud. I got all the photos. And what I want to tell you about, though, is when they were away at our house, it was so peaceful. And like there was no mess. And oh man, it is a good story. Oh, it was just a different household. So it was just me and the girls at home. We like, you know, read our books together and like wrote Christmas cards for people and put the carols on and like did all the things that you do when you, I don't know, when it's just girls at home, I suppose, and watched a movie. Andrew's in the front row like, boring. It was so good. And I was just like, oh, this peace is so good. And we're talking about peace this morning. And I know that this is like a funny little story of like life is easier without the boys, which is not true. It's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying it was different. It was different at our house. And so I've been reflecting on peace, you know, just to do with today specifically. And I think that in our culture, and maybe you would agree, when we think of peace, what we think of is it means there's no conflict. It means that everything is okay, right? Would you agree? That's when it feels things feel peaceful, right? We even use that language, peaceful. And that's cool. So I think we think about the absence of conflict and the absence of war maybe when we think about our world. And I just wondered to myself, is that kind of peace even like possible today? Like, I don't know. It kind of feels like it's not, right? And so sometimes we have moments of peace. Who of you have had a moment of peace recently? Like when the boys were away? Like a moment of peace where things have been just good and you've just had a good day or whatever it is and everything feels right and you feel happy and everything's in order. Some of you are like, nope, haven't had one of those for a while, and that's okay. I'm going to pray for you. And the Holy Spirit is here and he's going to refresh you this morning in Jesus' name, I believe. And so, you know, maybe we think that we don't usually have the peace that we would desire. And because we're human and like you're smart, you guys know this, the peace, that kind of peace in that sense that we've talked about, it's usually sporadic and it's usually temporary and it's usually pretty fleeting. Would you agree? Yeah. And I think that we think about peace and we think about self-care in a similar way, right? We think that self-care is like it's Netflix. It's not getting out of bed on time. It's not getting out of bed until 10 a.m. We think it's like avoiding people at the shops because you don't have it in you to talk to people. Has anyone done that? Be honest. Show of actual hands. Yeah, man, me too. And, you know, it's avoiding people at the shops. It's maybe it's eating a cake for breakfast, whatever it is for you that you feel is self-care. But actually, that's not it. That's not it either, is it? Like, that's not self-care. Those things aren't self-care. Caring for yourself spiritually and emotionally is usually the opposite of Netflix and cake. And so in the same way that we kind of feel like laziness and a bad diet equate to self-care, I think having peace in our hearts and souls, it actually doesn't mean that there's no conflict or there's no chaos. And if you've been in church before, you've heard this before and you're like, here we go, we're going to talk about it again. It's the deep peace of God. It's not about our circumstances. Yes, all of that is true. But we're going to talk about it in a little bit deeply as well today. And so when we think about peace, say peace to the person next to you, in the context of like practicing the way of Jesus, peace, it has a quite different meaning. And to be honest, after Christmas shopping like pretty poorly and thinking about all the things that I need to do before the 25th of December, anyone? All the mums are like, yeah. All the dads are like, what? I'm like, oh, the Jesus kind of peace to me, that is so much more appealing and makes so much more sense to me on a level that is deeper than just happy moments. And that's what I want to talk about today a little bit. So don't get me wrong, I love happy moments. On our fridge, Actually, it's rubbed off now. On our fridge, we used to have written, celebrate everything, like everything. Like, it's the last day of school, let's totally have cake for breakfast. We've done that. Like, everything, every possible reason for a celebration. Like, let's just do that. It's so good. I love happy moments. I'm not against them. I'm not saying that they're not important. I'm not saying that they can't be real. I'm not saying anything like that. But what I am saying is that all of the practical things that are in my power to do sometimes still cannot create the kind of peace that in my heart and my soul I'm longing for. Like, a cake is good, but it won't do it, right? It won't do it. And so peace in the Bible, in Hebrew in particular, the word is shalom. You can say that to someone. Next slide, please. Shalom. Or in Greek, it's irene. Say that. You have to roll the R. Irene. You're like, I'm not saying that. No, go. Irene. Who was that? That was amazing. yes, and so look, this is what peace. When we talk about when we read the word shalom or irene in the Bible, this is the idea, particularly in Hebrew. It's completeness and soundness and welfare and wholeness. That is what it means. Now that's a little bit different to I'm having a good day today because I had cake and the kids are all at school, right? It's a little bit different to that. And so I was surprised to find this out, to be honest. And the most basic meaning of the word is just complete or whole. So it's like when you talk about who has kids and your kids collect rocks and you find them in the washing machine. Anyone? Yeah? I got you, Timmy. I feel you. In the washing machine. So Joseph collects rocks all the time. But shalom is like a perfect stone, and it's like it's perfect in its shape, like it's a perfect shape. And it's perfect, like it's uniform in colour. It has no cracks. It has no marks on it. It's just shalom. It's just beautiful and complete and whole. This is the kind of idea that the Hebrew writers are going for. And shalom is like a wall that's really well built, like from stone, and it's complete and it's beautiful and it has no gaps and nothing missing, like no bricks missing, no vulnerabilities that will allow anything beyond it or through it. Shalom. This is shalom. So the core idea of shalom is that life is complex, yeah? It's full of moving parts and relationships and situations. And so shalom refers to just that a state of completeness and wholeness regarding those things, which is, you know, rare in these days. And so when one thing is out of alignment, we don't have shalom anymore. It's not shalom. It's mostly good, but it's not shalom. It's not complete. It's not whole. It's not that kind of peace. There are a bunch of ways that people talked about or achieved shalom in the Bible, and one of them is, like an example is your cow. Where's Mark Morowitz? Is he in here? Your cow gets out of your field and like goes into someone else's field and tramples all their crops, right? Back in that day, that was a biggie, and probably still is now. It still is. D's like, it definitely is. Okay. Keep your cows in, guys. So the idea is to achieve shalom then, you would go and get your cow and you would say, D, I'm so sorry that happened. I feel terrible. I would like to help you replant and like reestablish the field that my cow has wrecked. I would be achieving shalom with my neighbor to make it right, to make it whole, to make it complete. It's interesting, hey? And so Tim Mackey, who I don't know if you heard of Tim Mackey. Yeah, he writes, when rival kings make shalom in the Bible, it doesn't just mean they stop fighting, but it also means they start working together for one another's benefit. This state of shalom is what Israel's kings were supposed to cultivate, but it rarely happened. So the prophet Isaiah looked forward to a future king, a prince of shalom, a prince of peace, and his reign would bring shalom with no end. There would be a time when God would make a covenant with his people and make all the wrongs right and heal all the things that have been broken. And this is why Jesus' birth in the New Testament was announced as the arrival of Irene, shalom, peace. Jesus offers his peace to others. So cool. And so I actually think there's so much evidence that humans do love to bring shalom. And I think that that's maybe why, and you might feel like this today. You feel like something's not quite in the something's not quite right in the world. And maybe it's like, it doesn't even feel like you're home, you know? It's because we're longing for a kind of shalom, a kind of peace, a kind of completeness that is just not achievable here right now until Jesus comes and restores everything. And I'm really looking forward to that. But I think it's in our hearts to want that and to desire that. And we see it in lots of different ways, some really big ways, when you've had a breakdown of relationship or something like that and you just long for it to be better, especially when you feel like there's nothing you can do to make it better. Oh, that's the worst feeling. And it's because we have this desire that things would be shalom, that things would be complete and whole. And so I think it's not a bad thing that we as humans long for this type of completeness. We want things to be right in the world. We want things to be right in our families and whatever the situation is. Have you ever walked past a painting on the wall and you saw that it was crooked and you just couldn't walk past it and you went and straightened it up? Shalom. That's what it is. Have you ever bought someone flowers because something happened between you and you were sorry? I have. Shalom. Bringing shalom. Andrew in the post office the other day, I wish I had a video for you guys. He loves to bring shalom in all sorts of ways and just in general in his life. We're standing in the post office line. We're waiting. There's a few people in front of us. And you know, in the post office in Armidale, there's like you're kind of in the line, but there's all of the stuff around you that you can buy, like pick up when you're, you know. He's looking at everything and there's all these toys and they're like not straight and they're not even color-coded. And he's like having a minor conniption, like try. And I'm like, honey, don't look around. And he's like, okay, I'm just not going to. And then he like fixes a few toys but he only fixed half the box and then it was our turn. It was not good. He's longing for this situation, completeness, wholeness, order, shalom. I have one more Andrew story. I'm really sorry. $20. One more shalom story about Andrew. He loves to mow the lawn and he doesn't just like mow the lawn. Because, like, who even are you if you do that? He, like, mows it and it's, like, in a grid. Yeah. Uh-huh. And he, like, whippersnips or, like, perfectly all the way around. And then, like, you can see it in his body language when he's finished mowing the lawn. Like, he's standing in the yard and looking over his handiwork and he's like, oh, shalom, kaikuyu, buffalo, shalom. Like, you can see him, like, yeah. Shalom. It's something that we all long for, isn't it? Or maybe you've seen a house downtown and you've seen like how run down it is and you're like, you know what, if I own that house, I'd paint this and I'd do this and I'd put a veranda there and you know, because we perceive that things could be whole and complete and better, and that's our desire and we want that, and there's nothing wrong with that. Humans are all about shalom. The problem exists when we try and achieve this in a way that is outside of who God is. And we're going to talk about that. I personally can't make myself walk past like rubbish on the ground. Anyone else? Like I actually cannot do it. Thank you. And it makes me so mad. I'm not being funny. I almost cried yesterday. We're at the Blue Hole and there was rubbish everywhere. I'm like, who do they think they are? How dare they leave this here? Who's going to pick this up? Zoe's like, Mum, they don't care. I'm like, what? Like, I can't. My brain cannot believe that. What? Side note, pick up your rubbish. Like, don't leave it anywhere. I'll be so sad, guys. Please just pick it up. Anyway, so this is shalom. Lots of silly examples, lots of big examples when we think about relationships. Shalom. Completeness, soundness, welfare, wholeness, peace, shalom. So this is the idea. So when we read Jesus as the Prince of Peace, it's so much more than like he's just going to make you feel good on the inside. So much more. Jesus is all about completeness and wholeness and welfare and soundness. How wonderful. Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And so my first thought or challenge to you today, and I've only got a couple, so we're only going to be here for a few hours. The first one is, I'm joking if you're visiting. The first one is, I wonder if you and I, at ACC, as we approach Christmas, as we're downtown, as we're doing our jobs, as we're doing whatever we are, I wonder if you would just commit to being a person of peace, a person of wholeness, a person of shalom. Like, would you, I wonder if you would see a need and actually practically meet that need this week. I reckon we could do that. I wonder if you could buy someone groceries. I wonder if you've been thinking about fostering a child, if you just went ahead and put an application in. You know, let's bring some shalom and let's bring some wholeness to our community. I wonder if you saw someone who was lonely in the same place every week and you just decided, I'm going to bring some shalom to this situation and I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to say hello and I'm going to help them and whatever it means, whatever it could mean, a million things, right? I wonder, imagine if ACC was known as, oh, those people, man, that church is full of people of peace. How good would that be? That would be beautiful. That's the dream. That's the dream. So I wonder, that's my challenge to you. Could you be that person this week and next week and leading up to Christmas? Someone who brings shalom to others. Is that cool? You're like, guys, I can see your face. I've got so much to do. I know, me too. Let's just make that person of peace. Let's make that the most important thing, because it actually is. Who we are in Christ is the most important thing. It's more important than all the things we will buy. It's more important than all of the things we will do. Let's be people of peace. That would be wonderful. So, last thing I want to talk about is peace for you right now, because we all need it, so let's talk about it. I'm going to switch gears and talk about you, your peace, like in your heart and in your mind. Like, if we had time, I would sit down with every one of you here and we'll have those little continue the convo stools and I'd be like, how are you feeling about Christmas? And some of you might bawl your eyes out. And some of you might be like, yeah, I'm pumped about it. Everyone feels differently about things, right? And so I just want to, like, bring it to your mind, whatever it is, good or bad, positive or negative, how are you feeling about Christmas? And how are you feeling, not just about Christmas, but just in your life right now? Because the cool thing about being a follower of Jesus is that what is happening to us, that's not all there is. That's not all there is. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And he wants to help us. It's ironic, isn't it, that the very thing that we are celebrating at Christmas time, which is the fact that Jesus came into the world to bring some shalom, the very thing that we are celebrating, we are just distracted beyond our ability to recognize that peace. How crazy. How silly. Let's not allow ourselves to forget and to get lost in all of the things. Maybe for you, Christmas is like, it's overcome with grief and stress and financial strain and tradition, which is often a good thing. I love lots of tradition. And somehow, you know, in our eagerness to pursue that kind of peace, some kind of peace in our lives, we are, you know, we're just distracted. We're distracted by celebrating. We're distracted from that peace. What are we doing? Like, God forgive us. God forgive us for mistakenly grasping for some kind of peace, which is not a bad thing, because remember, we all want shalom. But God forgive us for trying to get it from everywhere else, from like something that we can buy or something that we can eat, when Jesus is like, here I am, the Prince of Peace. Here I am. Here I am. He's right here and he's ready. He's ready to help us and he's ready to deliver to us and help us with a peace that is deeper than what is going on right now, is deeper than your circumstance. So I have some good news. Jesus still offers peace today. Like, he didn't just come as the Prince of Peace and then, you know, that kind of got lost in history and that's not the case anymore. It's still the case. Jesus is the Prince of Peace and he's ready to help you. This is what we're celebrating at Christmas time. It's such good news. His peace is available to you no matter what is going on. No matter what is going on. There are lots of implications that we don't have time to talk about. But the most wonderful thing about all of this peace business that we've been talking about is that the most lasting and the most staggering and the most spiritually significant kind of peace that humanity is always holding in high tension and speculating about, Jesus has already addressed it. Jesus has come. Peace has come. And where there are so many facets of life and issues of the heart that are yet to be whole and complete and shalomed, like we've talked about. Is shalomed a thing? I'm going to say that's a verb now. No, that's, what is it? Shalom is a verb. What is shalomed? I don't know. That. It's the past tense. of that of the verb. Okay, cool, great. Let's do that. Shalomed. There are so many things that I wish this was shalomed. I wish this was whole, complete. I wish there was peace in this situation. But Jesus has fulfilled the most important and eternally vital and indispensable kind of peace. And that is this morning that you in your heart and soul and how you're feeling and whatever you did last night and whatever is happening, you can have peace with God. You can have peace with God. How amazing. And if you're in the room and you're like, oh, I mess up pretty often, I don't think you know what I'm really like, I think I'd probably be unwelcome to God maybe, or I'm too damaged to God, he wouldn't want to have anything to do with me, you're wrong. Sorry, not sorry. You're wrong. The only barrier between you and God is the one that you have put there yourself. We don't need to do that, guys. We don't need to do that. I'm going to ask Kesh to come, because we are running out of time. So how do we experience this peace? Because you might be thinking, great, that's awesome, and I'm glad that people can have it, or, I'm glad that we can have long-term peace with God, but I don't feel like I have peace right now. And I have felt like that, and I understand. And so how do we experience this? So we're going to look at Isaiah 26 real quick, and it reads like this. You will keep in perfect peace. This is in Isaiah, so the word is shalom. All who trust in you and whose thoughts are fixed on you. So here we read that perfect peace, the Hebrew is actually shalom, shalom. So it's not shalom. It's not just like peace in the general sense. It's like the greatest peace. It's like shalom, shalom is the best peace, the greatest peace, the most superior peace that there is. And this is what God offers us. Let's look at this in Philippians chapter 4. It says, don't be anxious about anything. And if you've heard this a million times, I wonder if you would just close your eyes and soften your heart for a moment. Because how often we have heard something in church does not equate to it being real to us. So let's just read this together. Do not be anxious for anything. Instead, Paul writes, here's the alternative. In every situation, with prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, tell your requests to God. And then the peace which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So there's two instructions here. And it's straightforward, but it's not easy, and I understand. The two instructions, orange highlighter, if you're a Duncan guy, orange highlighter, set your mind on him, fix your thoughts on him, and bring your requests to him so that there can be an exchange of your cares and worries for his peace. So the key thing here is that there is an exchange that happens. So we can know as much as we like about the peace of God. We can know that God can give us peace. We can know all of these things in our head. We can know it all. But until we actually have a practice by which daily we decide, I need to go to the Lord and make an exchange. I need to make an exchange. These are my worries and cares, God. And he's like, I've got you. I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to give you peace. Did you know God will do that for you? And this is not like we eat one pizza on Monday and then that's enough food for us for the whole week, right? That we wouldn't do that. That's ridiculous. We would need to refuel our bodies. And it's the same, I think, in this world when it comes to the peace that God would offer us. It's not a one-time thing. If you've prayed for God's peace once and you were okay for a couple of days and disappeared again, it's time to go back and be like, oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you helped me the last couple of days. Here I am again. These are my worries. These are my cares. I want to exchange them now for your peace. So it's not a one-time thing. And I just wonder for you and for me, if you have a practice already in your life, maybe you do it daily, whatever it is, maybe you do it in the morning when you first wake up, that you have that time to exchange your worries and cares for the peace of God. Because we can know all about it, but until there's a practice in place to help us, we're missing out on the fullness of it. And I don't want to miss out, and I don't think you do either. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he writes this, when we're dealing with actions and not merely states of mind. He says it's not enough to say, well, I'm almost certainly in possession of an inner solitude and silence and there's nothing else I need to do. All of those who have come into living silences have done certain things that have ordered their lives in particular ways so as to receive the peace that passes all understanding. So the peace is available to us. But my question this morning is, what are you doing to daily exchange your worries and cares for peace? It needs to be daily. We need to be disciplined around it. And, you know, same thing with prayer and Bible reading. And if you think prayer is boring this morning, like, if you think that prayer is boring, it's probably because you feel that it is a performance that you need to do for God to be happy with you, as opposed to a transformative relationship that can happen between you and God. Prayer is not boring. It's beautiful. So my encouragement to you today would be, firstly, why don't you be a person of peace in Armidale this week, over these next couple of weeks? And my second encouragement to you is, would you consider a daily practice where every day, every hour if you need to, because we all have those times, where you are exchanging, consciously going to the Lord and exchanging your cares, your weights, your worries for His peace? Have a process for bringing your cares and worries before the Lord, and institute a practice for being with God. It could be lots of things, and I'm sure we don't have time to go through them, but I'm sure you can think of what that might be for you. Let's do this. Let's do this this week. Let's do this so that into the new year, you've established a new pattern where you're not following Jesus the same way you've always done, but you're following Jesus in the sense that He's empowering you to live the life that He's called you to live. That's what we want. That's what we want to do. In John 14, we read, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things, and He will remind you of everything that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give it to you as the world gives," and there's so much to say on this and we don't have time. "I don't give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Jesus is like, the Holy Spirit will help you. I'm not just giving you peace as a one-off or a moment of peace. I'm giving you my peace. And as often as you retreat and ask the Holy Spirit and spend time with the Lord, He will bring that exchange to you, your worries, your cares for His peace. Cool. So why don't you stand? I know it's getting warm in the day. We're ready for some cake. We all have moments of overwhelm where things seem too heavy. Just hear me. If you feel like that this morning, nah, things are too heavy, and you're hearing me say, just meet with the Lord and exchange your cares, and you're like, nah, that doesn't seem real to me. I just want you to know it's okay. There's nothing wrong with you that you would feel that way. Life is wild. This world is a bit wild, right? There's nothing wrong with you. I want you to know that first up. There's nothing wrong with you. But what I would say is that you need to have something in place to counter that overwhelm. You need to have something in place to counter the overwhelm and the noise. So are you retreating often and exchanging your cares? Let's be people who do that. So I want to pray for two types of people this morning. Firstly, you feel like, the wall that we talked about, the complete beautiful wall with no holes. You're like, nope, my bricks are knocked out. My wall is not complete. My ducks are not in a row. I want to pray for you this morning. Going to pray that God would just bring some shalom, help you understand how to do that in your practices, in your heart, all of those things. And I also want to pray for you if you have just never invited Jesus into your heart, you're not a Christian, and you're like, oh, I would like that peace that Jesus gives. I want to pray for you as well. So why don't we just bow our heads, close our eyes, we're going to pray together. God, I thank you that we are not in this place to hear another sermon and sing another four songs, but that you are here, Holy Spirit, and that you want to transform us and teach us. So we still ourselves now, Holy Spirit. And we just ask that whatever it is that you would have us hear and take away this morning, that you would just confirm that in our hearts right now as we're standing where we are. And God, I want to pray for every one of us that, unlike that perfect wall with no gaps, the perfect stone with no marks, we feel like actually there are things up in the air and there are things that are up and I need help. Just raise your hand just so I can see wherever you are. I'm just going to pray for you. Yep, I got you. I got you. Anyone else? Just like, yep, I need God to bring some peace to me, some shalom. Yep, I got you. Anyone else? Yeah, great. Let's pray. Let's pray. And if that wasn't you, maybe you would just pray as well for these people. And we pray, God, for these brothers and sisters who just need you now, who need to hear you, Holy Spirit. I pray that you would meet them where they are. And I pray for those ones who were even like, I'm not even going to put my hand up because I don't even think God can help me. I've been there. I pray even for those, God. Holy Spirit, that you would just begin to do something new and fresh. That God, where there are the gaps and the incompleteness and whatever else, Holy Spirit, that you would just begin to speak to us, that you begin to speak to them. You begin to give them discernment and insight, God. That you would bring people around them who would minister to them and who would speak truth and who would speak wisdom to them, God. And I pray more than anything that they would know that this struggle is not the end. And Jesus, we think of you coming to the broken world to bring your peace. We thank you, God, that our struggles today, this is not all there is. We thank you for the hope that we have in you, Jesus. Thank you, God. I just want to pray for you as well. If you are not a Christian and you just like to be, you can tap the person you came with on the shoulder and be like, yes, I want to do that. You can come pray with me later. Is there anyone in the room? You just wave your hand. Awesome. Awesome. If that's you, you can come with your friend and I'll pray for you as well. Great. Amazing. So thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I pray for every person here, every person in this room this morning. Help us, God, be those people of peace that you desire. Help us, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have not given us an instruction and then left us with no equipment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here to help us. We love you, Lord. We love you, God. Help us to be people of peace. And may we be people who are undistracted enough to sense your peace over these next few weeks. We pray all of these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.